Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord God, we just want to pray that your word would so get into our hearts and work miracles, transform us, God. Just continue to change us and sanctify us. Lord God, this time is yours. Please just take over. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, the Darwin Awards are something very new, but Paul seemed to have a very low opinion also of the Gentile group. And, you know, you kind of have to give a pause and say, wait a second, isn't he writing to Gentiles here? I mean, the Ephesians? Yeah, but these are regenerated Gentiles. They're in Christ. And so the Gentiles now he's speaking of are the people who are not walking with God. And so he starts talking about, you know, how we need to make a clean break as Christians. And we can't continue to associate with and live lives that are synchronistic, just meshing with the people who are ungodly and who are not walking with God. And so, you know, again, he has a very low opinion of them, but really this is the biblical perspective of those who are not walking with God. And so what does he say? He says their understanding is darkened, and so the light of God and the light of the knowledge of God is not in them, and so their understanding is darkened. And he talks about how they have a life that is separated. They've been separated from the life of God. In 1 John, he says that, you know, and this is the testimony. Let me find it here. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so it is the Son of God. It is His life in us. This is the life that we as Christians have when we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And so, you know, Paul just says, I mean, as far as the Gentiles, I mean, they do not, they're separated from the life of God. And he speaks of their ignorance. Again, the ignorance is not an academic ignorance. It is an ignorance of the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the ways of God. And so, literally, I mean, as they are out there doing things totally opposed to God and in opposition to God, they don't even realize it in many cases. And he speaks of them as having hard hearts and being hard-hearted, and makes you think of that parable of the sower that Jesus talked about when the sower went out with the seed, and as he's scattering seed, and in some cases it just fell on the hard path and the birds just came and took it right away. And later on, when the disciples asked him to explain that part of the, you know, explain the parable, and on that part he just said, yeah, some people, their hearts are so hard. I mean, the word of God cannot even get in. It can't even penetrate into their hearts. And in many cases, that's how it is. And so in our case, what we're hoping is that as we walk with God, that our understanding would not be darkened, but in fact enlightened by the light of God and the light of His truth. That's a theme that is very common throughout the Bible. You know, and we're even called to be children of the light. We are called to be salt and light and to shine our light in the dark places. Instead of ignorance, hoping that we continue to grow in our knowledge of Christ, our Savior, but of His commands, of His will for us. And so we need to continue to grow in that. And also that instead of being separated from the life of God, we can be so connected and have the life of God flowing through us. And instead of hard hearts, hearts that would be so softened to God and to His Word and malleable, that God could literally then mold us into the image that He wants, which is a Christ-like image. He goes on in verses 19 and following, and he I put down here in your sermon notes, he talks about their messed up sexuality, that literally they've lost sensitivity. In other words, there's a callousness and even an arrogance and a pride when it comes to their sexual ways. And most of us guys, I mean, yeah, we've seen that. I mean, guys who just are boastful and braggadocious about, you know, the women that they've slept with. And you know, there's just no respect at all about sex. It's literally like they're just playing marbles with diamonds, something that's so precious that God's given us, and they're just callous. They've lost all sensitivity when it comes to sex, and they've given themselves over to sensuality. And here's where we have to be so careful, because if we just like take off the parking brake, and what I mean is, most of us are going to be struggling all our lives with sex and the sensuality, and especially when it's just so ubiquitous in our culture, it's everywhere. I mean, just soft porn is on the billboards, it's on our TV screens. I mean, we need to continue to fight against this sensuality, these urges, knowing that it's going to lead us away from God and lead us into so much trouble. But when somebody has just given themselves over to it and they've just dived in then to that sensuality, and just bad things can happen. It can take you to some really bad places. Steve Haynes from the Navigators Ministry was here last month and spoke to our men's group. And Steve is a Christian leader, real neat guy, and he listed off five things that he has learned about the devil. And he says this, he says, what I've learned about following Satan, he's going to take you farther than you ever wanted to go. And if you just give in to sin, you've given in to Satan, and he goes, he's going to take you farther than you ever wanted to go. He will keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. He will cost you more than you thought you ever wanted to spend. He will cause you to do things you never thought you would do. And he will turn you into someone you never expected to be. You give him an inch, he is going to take a mile, and he is going to make a disaster out of your life. And if you are in that spot, there is grace, there is hope. And so I will continue. But first, just, continuing with the Gentile way, which really I would define it as, this is the way of the crowd today. It's the way of most of our culture. And he speaks about how they just indulge in every kind of impurity. And again, you see that in our culture. It's just, the sky is the limit. And there's just no bars held back, no barriers. And he talks about this continual lust for more. I mean, it literally has reached an addiction level. And it has for so many people. And here's the scary part. We can't deceive ourselves. We can't kid ourselves. It's here in the church. It's among us. Okay? I mean, statistics will show. I mean, and this is why the divorce rate is about as high for Christians as non-Christians. But, you see the statistics about those people who are connecting with and engaging in pornography, it is just scary high. And so this is where this text is so relevant, because Paul is saying, he's just urging us. I mean, the words he uses, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live like this. In other words, we need to make a clean break of it. What we need to do, and the language he uses too, not just here, but in Colossians, he literally says that we need to put it to death, this old sinful nature in us. And so, I mean, the way Jesus put it is, hey, if your hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. If your eye is causing you to sin, gouge it out. It is so much better. It would be so much better to enter the kingdom of God without any eyes, without any hands, than to not enter the kingdom of God. In other words, this is all the marbles. Everything's at stake here. Don't be led away, by sin. Don't give yourselves over to it. Continue to fight. Continue to stay in the battle. Stay in the struggle. And I want to say, too, I mean, if you are too often losing that struggle, losing that battle, do something about it. Make a decision. Make a clean break. And if making that decision, I can't do it on my own, get help. And if that means confessing, fessing up, opening up about it, you are welcome to come meet with me. If you don't want to talk with me, I mean, find some mature Christian, find a Christian counselor, get some help. But make a clean break of it and fight against it, okay? Don't give in. So Paul then goes on in verses 20 and forward about our Christian foundation training. And first thing he says, you know, it's about knowing Christ. And there's a big difference between knowing who Christ is and knowing some of his teachings and really knowing Jesus personally, intimately, and having a growing intimacy and a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about. You know, and I was referring to the Darwin Awards because, yeah, they're funny. But, you know, I think that just about everybody that that lands in hell, most of them ought to be given a Darwin Award. Honestly, I mean, first of all, I mean, the atheists. Mr. Bean has a wonderful little comedy spiel on this, too, where he plays, you know, Mr. Bean, the guy that plays Johnny English, the British comedian. Anyway, he plays the part of the devil in this little comedy routine, and he's really hilarious about it. He's welcoming everybody to hell, and he says, you know, and because there's such a large group of you, we're going to have to split you up, and so we need the murderers and the thieves and adulterers over here, and, the French? Yes, the French over here, you know. And he's like, oh, and the atheists? Yes, you're over here. Oh, no, I'll bet you feel like a bunch of dummies right now, don't you? He's ready to give him a Darwin Award. You know, yeah, you wrote off God. You lumped him with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and as just some fairy tale. Guess what? God is real, and so is hell. Welcome. You know, but here's where it's going to be really scary. The ones who land in hell who were in church, maybe even all their lives. You know, Matthew 7, Jesus talks about this. He says, you know, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, many are going to come to me on that day, on the judgment day, and they're going to approach him and they're going to say, hey, Lord, you know, I did miracles in your name. I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. And Jesus is going to look at them and say, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoer. And that's going to be just astounding to many people who were in the church. How can that happen? Remember the key. Jesus said, get away from me, you evildoer. I never knew you. How important is it that we know Jesus? But I mean know him. Personal relationship. An intimacy with our Lord and Savior. And he is not just our Savior, he's our Lord. He says, get away from me, you evildoer. In other words, yeah, all the church stuff, that was what they did on Sunday morning, but on Monday through Saturday, it was a whole different game. Now, we cannot live those kinds of lives. We can't be, you know, here on Sunday and doing something so different, just living it up with the Gentiles the rest of the week. And so Paul's calling us out and saying, no more fence riding. Make a decision. Live for God. And just give up all the foolishness, the futile thinking, the darkened thinking, the sinful living of the Gentiles, of the crowd. Is this a popular thing? Oh, heavens no. I mean, if we hang with the crowd, we can be popular. Yeah. Get along with everybody. If we choose Jesus, expect persecution. Because this is not a popular decision that we make. And a lot of the stands that we make will not be popular. And we need to live with that. And thank God with God inside of us. And if God is with us, it's all right. Doesn't matter who's against us. And so he continues that we need to be taught in the truth. Jesus is the truth. His word is truth. There's the other thing. A lot of Christians, quote unquote, in conversations, I get worried because their attitude towards the Bible is, well, it's mostly truth, but I disagree with this and that and this. Really? Wow. Or, you know, the Bible, yeah, good book and everything, and just kind of a, I mean, not even in the Word, not even reading it. And in a lot of ways, their lives are disjointed. They're not living out of the Word. We're letting the Word live in them. And we got to be so careful of that. So the Bible is the truth. God's Word is the truth, and we need to be taught in the truth and get into the Word. And then, he talks about putting off the old self, putting to death the old self. And literally, there's such a change. Jesus put it this way. He said it's being born again. It's a whole new life that we have to lead. I mean, is there a real marked difference in your life, a before and an after? Is there a marked difference between your life and the Gentile ways, the ways of the crowd? Those are tough questions, but we got to get real. And he talks about this mental renewal. The battleground is the mind. So Klein Snodgrass, in his commentary, he says, sins are not the cause of the problem, but the result. The problem lies in the mind and in choices made against God. We sin because first here, we're making wrong choices, choices in opposition to God, in opposition to His Word. But we need, that's why we need this mental renewal. That's why we need the Word of God in us. Are you reading the Word daily? I don't have time. Really? Can I honestly ask you to tell me what is more important than spending time with God? And, oh, you don't understand. I'm so busy. Really? We talked about busy last week. It's an acrostic for being under Satan's yoke. We cannot be making the excuses. We have to be in His Word daily, allowing the Word to renew our minds, to regenerate us. Till we come to that new self, as he puts it, righteous and holy, clothed with Christ. We've died with Him, and now we live in Him. Better put, He lives His life through us. And we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. So three things. Make a decision. Are you going to continue to run with the crowd? Just live a life, syncretism, living, running with the crowd? Or are you going to make a break and make a decision and go with Jesus, but go all out? Remember, I mean, Jesus had some harsh, harsh words for the Christians in Laodicea. He said, stop being lukewarm. I'm getting ready to spit you out of my mouth. I'd rather you just be cold then. But be hot. But don't be lukewarm. Don't ride the fence. Make a decision all out for Jesus. Second, engage. Engage with God then. Get to know Him. Engage with Him through His Word. Engage with Him in prayer. Engage with God. And then the third thing is participate. Participate in the fellowship, in the life of the church. Like I was telling the kids, so much of life is about who you hang around. Are you hanging around people who are building you up, edifying you, helping you to get into that godly life? Or are you hanging around people who just keep pulling you away, tearing you down, and leading you away from God? But participate in the life and of God and the life in the body of God. Participate. And I left some questions of reflection for there for you to ponder also there in the sermon notes at the end. But and really, ponder them. Think them through. Journal about them. But for many of us, it means making a change. And I want to challenge you to do that. And may God give you the strength, the wisdom, and everything you need to be able to live that life. A life for Jesus, sold out to Him. Amen.